The last few weeks, we've been talking about our thinking, and we're going to continue to talk about our thinking. And basically, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And so we're just going to review quickly just a couple scriptures that we've gone over in the past services, and those services are on the website if you've missed any of them. To go back and review, I'm not going to review everything. We don't have time, but we'll just go over a couple scriptures. Real quickly, Proverbs 23, verse 7. We'll turn there really quick. This is what we're talking about. Proverbs 23, verse 7. We'll start in verse 6. We read this a couple times, but it says, "Do not eat the bread of a miser, nor desire his delicacies, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. The morsel you have eaten, you will vomit up and waste your pleasant words." So we've said, the thing we want to focus on there is verse 7, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." And like we've talked about, miser, he may tell you to eat up and whatever, but he's not really, that's not the way he is. Who we are is how we really think, what's in our hearts. And so that's what we've been talking about, that it's our thinking that changes how we act, our character. It all starts with how we view things, how we view life. And so, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And that's what we've been talking about. That's been the theme. So a couple of scriptures then, well, that we've already gone over, we'll review. Romans 12, 1. Let's turn there quick. Like I said, we're not going to spend much time on these. I want to get to the next part today. But those messages are on the website. You'd like to listen to the entire message. All right, Romans 12, 1. It says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." Verse 2, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So we said the way we're going to be transform this year. You know, this is the new year, and a lot of times we look back and we say, "I want to be different come this time next year." The way that's going to happen is by the renewing of our mind. Verse 2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world." Don't be conformed to the worldly ways, the world's way of doing things, the worldly thoughts, all the stuff around us, these pressures that tries to conform us. See, this pressure is trying to make us into a mold. It's trying to, like, if I had a sponge ball, here, if you can take a little sponge or a ball, let's just say it's a sponge, you can take it, you can conform it to your hand. But you can let it go, it'll go back to the other, it'll go back to its shape. It's conformed to your hand while the pressure's there, but you let it go, it'll go back. But being transformed means, the sponge would completely change shape. We can all conform. It's pressure. You know, kids growing up especially feel pressure. We've all been in high school. The peer pressure to be the same way as everybody else. Do the same things. Be the cool way. Well, there's pressure in our lives in this world to conform with what we see and hear and feel. But it's not necessarily godly. So the way we're going to change the way, we, instead of conforming to the world like this says, we want to be transformed into something completely different, which is to be like Christ. And how is that going to happen? It's going to happen by the renewing of our mind, by changing our thinking so that we think differently than the world thinks. Can you imagine if you could go back? People talk about this all the time. If you could go back and go through your school years with the knowledge that you have now, with the way you think now, you imagine how different your life would be? You're going through high school and people are all focused on all these things, temporal things, who's cool and whatever. And man, you're going through and you know what's coming down 10, 15, 20 years, whatever, down the line. You know what life is really about. Hey, can you imagine the way you'd go about your studying, the way you'd go about your interactions? You wouldn't be pressured by how these temporal things, "Oh, you don't think I'm cool? I don't care. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to treat people nice. I'm going to study. I'm going to build my character because I know what's coming down the pike." See, my thinking's different. I have understanding that these kids around me don't, because I'm really, how many years older in my thinking. My thinking has changed, so I act differently. Well, that's the same thing. See, what Christ has given us the way to think properly through His Word. And so all these people around us, you know, if they're following the world, they may act a certain way, but we can act like God, who's been around forever, who has wisdom beyond any of us, but He's put it down in His Word. He's given us the Holy Spirit, so we can walk around thinking lined up with Him, and we can just be like a total fish out of water, just like as if we went back to high school with our thinking. We can have God's thinking walking around this world and completely be transformed into something else, completely be different. Because we're not bringing the wisdom of men and the wisdom around us. We're operating at a totally different level because we focused on God, because we've changed our thinking, because our thinking is lined up with His thinking, and so we are transformed and our behavior is different. That's what we want. So let's turn to one more scripture in review. So 2 Corinthians 10, 1. 2 Corinthians 10, 1. So it says there, "Now I, Paul, myself am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am lowly among you, but being absent am bold towards you." So these people are not respecting Paul. You know, these people around the church at Corinth, they're not thinking he is anybody. And so Paul's, he's talking to the church and saying, look, he's telling them, the gifts that are inside him, he's making a case. So he says, "Now I, Paul, myself am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am bold, lowly among you, but being absent and bold toward you. But I beg you that when I am present, I may not be bold with that confidence which I intend to be bold against some who think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For we, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal," not natural, that means, "but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." So we went over this, read a couple translations. The bottom line is that Paul is talking to these people and saying, look, we're not operating. He's talking in the context of preaching the gospel. He's saying, look, our weapons, how we're operating, it's not just Paul. When I come around, you don't look at me just natural. Don't look at me, don't judge me just the way I look or my haircut or my clothes or, you know, my speech. I am operating supernaturally. And our weapons are not natural. The thing that we use to change people's thinking and change people's mind, it's not natural, it's supernatural. So he says in verse 4, "For the weapons of our warfare," how we're doing our job, how we're preaching the gospel, "they're not carnal or natural, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds." Now he's talking about when I'm preaching, there are things that are built up in people's minds. And I'm not just convincing them with logic. I have an anointing from God. The Holy Spirit is working with me to change people's thoughts, tear down everything that would exalt itself against God, what I'm saying, the gospel. He says, "The weapons of our warfare are not carnal or natural, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." So he's saying, we have a supernatural gift to cast down these arguments. These people are, you know, whatever comes against us, whatever arguments are there, we have a supernatural gift to cast down the arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought. These people, they're thinking things against the gospel. They maybe have programming, but Paul's saying we have a supernatural anointing to change all that, to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Now, we do the exact same thing in our own lives. We have an anointing from the Holy One. We have an anointing that resides in us. We are believers, and we have authority over our own thinking. So just like Paul is talking about, when I preach, it's God working with me to change these people's minds. It's the same thing with ourselves. We have the authority to change our thinking. We have an anointing. We have the Holy Spirit living inside us. That when thoughts, the programming that we've had all our lives, when if those things are wrong, If there, we've been programmed wrong, we change that thinking. We come against arguments, things that have been programmed but are wrong. If we see something in the Word of God that is contrary to our programming, we toss out the programming and we toss out any thoughts. If we have thoughts or emotions or whatever and we realize that's not godly, then we toss it out through the Holy Spirit inside of us. We get rid of that old thinking and reprogram it with new thinking. And that's what I want to talk about today. Practically, that's what we do to get rid of that old thinking. We just have to cast down the thoughts as they come. Now, I want to talk about, you know, some today. Those thoughts, the thinking, the bad programming, where does it come from? Originally. Adam and Eve, originally, they didn't have any wrong thinking. But something happened. The adversary came in and lied to him. Now we're going to read a few scriptures. We have an adversary that has gone around this earth and sowed deception, sowed lies all over the earth, all over the mankind. That's what he's been doing since the beginning to get people away from God. And we've had how many generations now on the earth that have heard lies? There's truth there too. But I'm saying it's mixed in with lies about God, about, you know, just all type, about relationships, all types of subjects. And so it's mixed. The programming isn't pure. And it's because we have an enemy and he goes to about seeking whom he may destroy. He's the enemy. The devil. That's why we have bad programming. If we were in a bubble and there was no enemy, we wouldn't have to deal with any of these wrong thoughts. We would all think perfectly. I mean, imagine, faith in God be so easy. It's not hard as it is. But we have an adversary that's going to try to throw us off. He tries to knock us off. He tries to lie to us. And the fact is, a lot of it's automatic. I mean, you have this thinking already because you're human and you have your parents didn't have pure thinking. I don't care who they are. You know, nobody's perfect. Nobody's lying completely, lined up completely with God. So we all have some messed up thinking. And so it's like on autopilot. The devil's messed up the human race. I mean, look at us. Look at the world, the way we're, you know, thinking. If it was all godly, it'd be harmony. But no, we deal with flesh. We've dealt with this. There's been all these generations of people that have got messed up thinking. And so we're dealing with that. Well, that all came from the enemy. Now, we're going to read some scriptures. Because if we know where the thinking comes from, and we can identify the wrong thinking, then we just have to replace it with what God says. But we have to identify it. If we don't know what's wrong, we won't replace it. I mean, there are things that we have blind spots that we operate in that we don't realize it's wrong. And you look at somebody else and say, how can they do that? How can they operate at that level? Their thinking's different. They think different. Even in the natural, people think different. In your thinking, you don't see how somebody could do what they're doing. In your thinking, it's impossible. Or our thinking. You know, in our thinking, we could think, you look at somebody and say, how do they get all that done? How do they accomplish that? How can they have that kind of relationship? Whatever. Because in our way of thinking, it's impossible. But in their way, they've changed their thought. See, they're lining up with something that's different than us. They've changed it, so they're operating at a different level. So we have to, but see, if we don't think, if we think our thinking's is the end-all be-all, then we won't question it. We'll say that's impossible. But we know that's not true. We know there's some way that some people are getting different results. We know it. But if we have this blind spot that we look at the different things in our life and say, well, I know this is true. I know this is true. And I know this is true. So if these are givens, I don't know how they're getting that result, but they are. So we have to look at, are these true? And if we, once we, the way we identify those is through the Word of God. We identify them as deceptions. We identify them as untruths. Then we'll be able to, once we see something is wrong, then we replace it with the Word of God. The first step is, though, identify the lies. Identify what is not godly. So we're going to read a couple scriptures here. I think we know this, but you know, if we don't get done with this today, we're going to keep going. But we're just going to take a couple of minutes just to read a few scriptures concerning this. John 8:44 through 45. So Jesus is speaking to these Jewish people and some people that are really, you know, religious minded. And so he's speaking to them in the middle, and they're saying, oh, but Abraham's our father, and basically we're godly, and because of all this, they're arguing with Jesus. And Jesus, in the middle of this, says, you are of your father, the devil. Your thinking basically is completely wrong. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. There is no truth in the devil. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. He is a liar and the father of it. He's a liar. The devil, the enemy, Satan, is a liar. He doesn't just lie. Like it says, when he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources. He speaks from his own. For he is a liar. It's like God is love. God is truth. The devil doesn't just lie. He is a liar and the father of it. Everybody who lies is going after the devil. He introduced it. He started it. He began. He is a liar. So he cannot, like it said just prior, there is no truth in him. There is none. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. That's what he does. He goes around deceiving. That is his biggest weapon, is he deceives. He goes around seeing who he can deceive, getting you to think on things that aren't true. Deceive our minds. That's what he does. If he can deceive us, he can get us to think wrong. If he gets us to think wrong, we'll do the wrong things. He's deceiving all kinds of people into thinking that Jesus is not the Christ. Through all kinds of means. He sowed all kinds of lies in this earth, and he's gotten them to believe that Jesus isn't who he said he was. He'll use any tactic that he can, but he's a liar. He is the biggest slime ball that has ever been, but he's smart. He knows how to get to lie to us. He's just a charlatan. He knows. I'm going to weave my web around you, and I know what your background is, and I know where you came from, and I know what you'll buy. And we're helpless against him if we don't stand on the word and use the word, because he's much smarter than us in the natural. Don't be deceived into thinking that you're smarter than the devil in and of your own self. And your little brain, or my little brain, compared to a being that has been around for thousands of years, seen the character of God for millennia, he knows how we operate, okay? The way we defeat him is not trying to go toe-to-toe, because I guarantee you he's smarter than all of us. It's by going with the Holy Ghost inside of us that is way, way, way greater than the devil. It's not like, you know, the devil and God are just equal and opposite, you know, duking it out. No. You know, devil tried to go up against God, and he got tossed out. He cannot hold a candle to God. That is our Father. Jesus Christ, the God who created the universe, is our Father. The Holy Spirit lives inside of us. Now, we follow that truth. We follow the Word. We follow the Holy Ghost. The devil cannot defeat us. But we try to get in the natural and start going toe to him. We can't do it. Well, we stay in the realm of faith, believe God, do what he said, we will win. So he's a liar. He's a deceiver. He always has been, always will be. 2 Corinthians 11. Let's go there. If we establish this, now, I know we generally know this, but if we get it into the forefront of our mind that the devil is a deceiver, that he's a liar, so that when we have a thought, and if we realize what's going on, we won't fall for the smoke screens. If we're conscious of that fact, if we can get it so ground in us that God, good, devil, bad, God, truth, devil, liar, that we have to be conscious. See, if you knew somebody and you knew they were a liar, that would change the way you operated with them. Something, they tell you something, you wouldn't say, oh, really? You would look at them, you take everything with a grain of salt. Is this a lie? Is this truth? Well, with devil, the enemy, you know everything. Everything is a lie. You imagine what it must be like on that side with the demons and his whole, you know, crew. It must be chaos because they all lie to each other. They're just a bunch of backbiting, backstabbing, you cover. That whole side must just be chaos because everybody, they have a leader that completely will toss anybody aside. You see people that go follow the devil and you find they're 29 and dead. I mean, he does not esteem anybody. It's completely opposite of God. God is creates security. God is always constant. God will treat people with kindness. Not true with the enemy. He'll use you, throw you away. It's just wicked. Wicked, but we serve God. God is good, the devil's bad. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 1, says, Oh that you would bear with me in a little folly. Indeed, you do bear with me, for I am jealous for you with godly jealousy, for I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. See, he's telling to him, look, I've preached to you. I've told you the truth. But verse 3, I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Just as the devil, and the serpent is the enemy, we'll see that over. The serpent was Satan in the garden. Just as he deceived Eve, he's trying to deceive us. That is his primary weapon. That is who he is. He is a liar. He started with that weapon in the Garden of Eden. He started and he came with a lie. He didn't come with power and force, tried to take God head on. He already tried that. He got thrown out. He came with a lie. He came with deception. That's who he is. And that's what he does today. That's what he does. But if we understand how he operates, then we can understand how to defeat him. And it'll put us on guard that when we hear certain things, if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, it's a lie. Even if it looks true in the natural. Even if it's real, it's a lie. It's got to change to line up with the Word of God because God has the final say. And so when we see something that feels real, that it feels like God's abandoned us, that it feels like maybe you're not going to get healed, that it feels like something isn't going to go, it is a smokescreen. It is a lie. If it doesn't line up with what God has promised, it is a lie. It doesn't matter if it's real. It has to change. These things are temporal. They will line up with the Word of God if we'll side with him. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted. We have to watch it so that as the serpent deceived Eve, he's not deceiving us. Let's go to Revelation 12, 7. It says, and war broke out in heaven, Michael and his angels. Now, this is all talking about, things to come and all this, but there's several references here to who this enemy is. And war broke out in heaven, Michael and his angels fought with the dragon and his angels fought. But they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So the great, let's read verse 9 again. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old. See what we just read? I mean, this is just laying it down. That wasn't some snake. I mean, that was snake, Satan. We know that. We're going to read it. But back in Corinthians, don't go back there. But it says, lest I fear somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness. The serpent, the devil, Satan. It says, so the great dragon was cast out, that the serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. That's his job description. Liar. Deceiver. What do? I deceive the whole world. That's what he does. He goes about deceiving. Deceives you. If he can deceive you, he'll deceive you. He'll deceive anybody. That's who he is. That's what he does. Now, we're going to read a couple more scriptures in Revelation. Just turn back to chapter 20. Revelation 20, verse chapter 20, verse 1. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. This is something that's going to happen. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a while. He's locked up so that he should deceive the nations no more. His job, that's what he does. That's what he goes around doing. He's gone, so there's not the deception. Now skip back just a couple verses. Verse 7. Now when the 1,000 years have expired that he's locked up, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out. What's he going to go out to do? Only what he knows how to do. He will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, whose number is as the sand of the sea. But notice, he gets locked up so that he won't deceive the nations anymore. He gets out, he's going to deceive the nations. That's what he does. That's who he is. He is a liar. He is a deceiver. He deceives. Period. And he don't think he's not trying to do it to every one of us right now. Even right now, but I mean in our lives, somewhere he's trying to deceive us. Somewhere there are his principles and his things that he set in motion already in the human race are trying to deceive us that are against what God has said. Now I run to read you a couple things. So deceive, and we know what deceive means, but there's a couple definitions. Means to go astray, this word, go astray, deceive, err, seduce, wander, be out of the way. To deceive by leading into error, to seduce. Now like this, now this is Webster's, to cause to accept as true or valid what is false or invalid. So to cause to accept as true or valid something that is false or invalid. That's what deception is. That's what it is. It's faulty programming. And somebody put it like this, and this makes it very clear, to cause to think on things that aren't true. But when you're deceived, you look at things that are actually false and you accept them as true. The devil is the author of that. He started it. He came with Eve and he told her, did God really say? And that's what he does to every one of us. Did God really say this? Did God really say this? This is what's going to happen to you. And he'll spin a web that makes it seem like, boy, that's true. All the smoke, all the mirrors, you're going down. You're going to fail. You're going to lose your job. Your husband's going to leave you. Your wife's going to leave you. Your child's going to get is going to get cancer and die. You're going to get hit by a car. You know, this person does not like you. And he'll make everything look like it's true. You look this way, look that way. Boy, it looks like it's true, but it's a lie. If it's not truth, if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, it's a lie. This is what he does to us. He deceives. He gets us to think on something that isn't true. He causes us to accept as valid something that is a complete falsehood. Like we said before, he gets us to operate on a set of principles or programming that is faulty, but we think they're true. So we look at something and say, how can I possibly do that? How can I be healed? I have this symptom. Who said that thing is the last word? It's wrong. See, if God said we're healed, he's going to tell you, no, this is unchangeable. Who said? Jesus went about healing all and doing good. He went about healing people, and he didn't say that has changed. You're going to fail. God has left you. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. It's a lie. It may look like he left you. Everything may look like he's gone, but it's not true. It's a lie. But the enemy will come, put this mirror up and this mirror up and this smoke and get this person to say this and everything, and you look around and go, boy, that looks like it's true, but it's a lie. He's trying to get you to accept as valid something that is invalid. Trying to get us to accept something as true that is not true. That is his MO. That's his mode of operation. That's how he operates. And so we have to constantly ask ourselves when we're tempted to, when we ever have fear, when we ever have anxiety, when we ever have anything negative in our lives that we're tempted to look away from God, we have to ask ourselves, am I buying a lie right now? Because in fact, we are, if we have any of those negative things, because God is not the author of any of that. The enemy is. He's the one that is tempting, trying to get us to look away from God, trying to get us to go off and doubt God, trying to get us to believe a lie constantly. That's what he does. So when we're tempted to go to fret and to be anxious, that's a sure sign we are believing a lie. That does not mean our circumstances aren't real. That means the ultimate truth is, just like the Israelites backed up against the Red Sea, oh, they're in a heap of trouble there. One side's the Red Sea, two sides mountain, you know, four side, you got all these chariots coming. You're up a creek in the natural. It's real. It looks like God has abandoned them. What's going to happen here? It looks like it's all over. It's real. Those chariots are real. They have swords. It's real. But the thought that God has abandoned them, that he's led them out there to die, is a lie. That's not true. At that point, God has a plan. And within a few hours, however many that is, they're on the other side of the Red Sea, and that whole army that was chasing them is dead. But in your life, in each of our lives, we can feel like we're backed up. I don't know how I'm going to get out of this. This is real. Have you seen our financial statement? Have you seen what's going on in my body? Have you seen what it looks like with my child or my husband or my wife? You know, have you seen this? It's real, but it's not the final authority. And see, what we look at and what we cause our mind, what we accept as valid will determine how we act. Our thinking. If we've been deceived and we think that this is real, so this can't change, we can accept it. Give up. The Israelites could have said, forget it. We're done. Moses could have said, forget it. He didn't do that. And they went across the Red Sea. We, when we're backed up, instead, we need to say, there is a liar. There is an enemy. He is trying to destroy me right now, but I choose to believe the word of God and look to him. And he will never leave me, and he will never forsake me. And I don't care, these thoughts are coming in that say this is impossible. But God said it's possible. So I am going to remove that faulty thinking. I'm going to cast down those arguments that go against what God said. Everything that exalts itself against the true knowledge of God. And I am going to tear it down right now. That is wrong. I choose to reprogram with this over here. This looks real. This feels real. These emotions are pounding me, but this is real. I choose to change my programming and renew my mind and be transformed into what God has said. We are not talking about games or just denying the existence of real things. No, we're talking about a higher truth. We don't deny what is going on in our life. We just say it's subject to change. I may be backed up against the Red Sea, but God has a way out. God said he won't leave me or forsake me. He said I am healed. He said that he'll always take care of me. He said that he takes care of the spirit, you know, the birds. He's going to take care of me. He said, don't worry about it. All those things trump whatever's going on in my life. So I choose to believe him. I choose to reprogram. I choose to be transformed by the renewing of my mind to accept this as truth instead of this as the final authority. That's what we do. We throw it right in the face of the deceiver and say, no, I choose not to believe that. That looks real. That feels real. But this is real. This is the ultimate truth. God is truth, and I will let this stand. This is my programming. I will believe this. That's when victory comes to our life. We don't accept the lies. We don't throw up our hands and say, well, it looks true. It must be true. Forget it. I'm whipped. It's exactly what the enemy wants us to do. He wants us to say, I mean, that's his ultimate plan for mankind. He hates mankind. We're God's creation. From the beginning, he's tried to get them to go away. He's trying to destroy. He's trying to plunder. He's trying to steal. He's lying. That's what he does. And so anything, that's his final for everybody. If he can get people to just believe that God is just a fairy tale, you know, just like the tooth fairy doesn't exist, why didn't he show himself, all that stuff, you know what? That's a deception. That's a lie. People buy it. And they don't accept the free gift that God has provided for them. But we don't have to be like that. We can be aware of his devices, aware that there is an enemy that is trying to kill us. And when we see something that doesn't line up with the Word of God, we call it like it is, and we choose to agree with him. We renew our minds to him. Renew our minds to the Word. And be transformed. Thank you, Lord.